Tomorrow, the new 710 KNUS lineup kicks off next Tuesday, the day after Labor Day, with Dan Kaplis in this very spot. Right now, though, so very pleased to be joined by someone who, over the last few years, even though we are often on opposite sides of the legal equation, George Brockler, who is not only your district attorney if you live in the surrounding area, surrounding 710 KNUS, it's the county that I live in, among the counties that I live in. Well, let me put that another way. I live in Arapahoe County. The 18th Judicial has a bunch of other counties, including that one. And so, George, you just make me speechless, I guess. Welcome back to 710 KNUS, man.
It is great to be back on here, man. Thanks for having me. And congratulations on the Saturday gig. That is a great stepping stone.
Yeah, that is really going to be a blast. And you used to do Saturday morning talk radio and do fill-in at other stations before you launched into your political slash law enforcement slash prosecution career full force. Because you were serving in the military, and when you'd come home, I'd hear you on the radio periodically. And I got to tell you, I used to listen long before I met you, knew you, became friends with you, or anything else. So that's pretty cool. You know what? You know how much fun it is.
It's great. And then for people that are out there driving around, and I used to be one of those guys that think to themselves, man, I could do that. That might be true. But the thing I found out early on, and you probably found this out, is it is not as easy as it looks, especially if you're not getting good callers or the topic seems to be dragging or your guests don't seem to be ready. It's a lot more challenging than just, hey, I'm going to say things that come into my head. It really takes some effort to get prepared for it and to pull it off well.
Yeah,
you do a great job with it.
You remember the first time you sat down and you thought, oh, it's only 10 or 15 minutes till the next break. And you had, stacks of papers in front of you, and you blast through them in 5 or 6 minutes, and the phone's not ringing, and there's just nothing going on. Now, it's a little easier these days because with Twitter.
The first time somebody says something they're not supposed to say on an FCC-regulated thing, and you know where the button is, but your heart skips and you start looking around like, where's the dump button? And then finally someone smarter than you figures it out and you're like, thank God.
Yeah, because I don't even think the dump button's in here. The producer's got to run that from behind the glass. Thank goodness we've got Captain Kirk back there. Let me tell you my dump button that didn't get dumped story real quick before we get your take on what's going on with Sanctuary City and other important Colorado issues. Talking with George Brockler, who is your 18th Judicial District Attorney and a gubernatorial candidate, one of many now, and maybe more to come. We'll certainly talk about that. But back in the 80s, I thought I had an attraction to radio. And so this is true. I went to the Ron Bailey School of Broadcast and learned to talk like this. And the first job, I was in my, let's see, if it was in the early 80s, I would have been 23, 24, 25 years old, something like that. And it was at a music station up in northern Colorado, 100,000 watt FM. And, when you first get hired to a position like that, it's midnight to 6. That's where you're going to start. And I remember the first night at midnight just sitting down and dark, relatively dark studio. The music stops. It's the top of the hour and the first time I have to say something. That was a moment. But then I got comfortable with it. I was bringing my Doberman in there. It was DJ, the Doberman dog, kind of made fun with him and promotions. When I'd go out, I'd bring him with me, go out into public for public events and stuff like that. But one thing you would do if you're a music DJ and it's the middle of the night is you'd play really long songs because you could go and stretch out on the couch or, make it to the restroom, make something to eat, and know that you got 6-8 minutes of Doors or some great long song. And I threw on this Pretenders song that I picked because it was long. It was 8 or 9 minutes or so. And so I am literally out there lying on the couch, music blasting, keeping myself awake, knowing I've got to go back in there. But no, I've got a few minutes just to stretch and shut down. And Chrissy Hynde shouts 100,000 watt FM across northern Colorado, F off. It's part of the song.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so it's a great song, but there's this pause where this guitar riff ends and then she goes, F off. Only she says the whole thing. And I just knew,
buddy.
I just knew that my budding music DJ career was over. And I waited for the general manager or the program director, is the nicest guy in the world, but very stern on how his station ran. never got a call, never heard a word, which probably meant nobody was listening. But regardless, I was scared for days. I thought that was it. And
Or people listening thought, this is the coolest radio station anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. Anyway, we didn't talk to reminisce about radio. I mean, I didn't have you call in to do that. And thanks for doing that, by the way. Sure. Denver, of course, City Council Monday. And at 6 o'clock, we're going to be joined by my friend Dane Torbenson for a segment I used to call Have a Liberal for Lunch to get his take on Sanctuary City. He lives in Denver. But what are your thoughts about what Denver is doing with illegal aliens and their obligation to report things to the federal government?
Well, a couple things. I mean, I think this is clearly political pandering for the purposes of benefiting those who think that their constituency is strongly in favor of different immigration laws than we currently have. And so they're taking whatever steps they can so they can run around the city proclaiming that they're illegal immigrants friendly. And but we're not a sanctuary city. I mean, they want to draw the line up to that.
Can you put in a 30-second music pad?
That's the only way that we have conducted ourselves over 200 plus years, and it's the only way we should move forward. And we have laws on the books, and we've got the three things that, you know, we can do with them. We can enforce them and follow them. We can amend them to make them something we like better, or we can repeal them. And this is none of those. This is an attempt to discourage the enforcement of them. And they actually put language in the summary and even in the ordinance itself that suggests that we're going to do as little as possible to encourage the sharing of information other than something that is legally mandated that would actually allow for the enforcement of immigration law. It's an attempt to really do an end run around a law that they don't like. And I wonder where they would draw the line on what other federal laws is it okay to try to thwart in the name of pandering to their constituency. It's frustrating. I'm not sure it's going to make Denver any safer, but we're going to find out.
And one of the things that I have just been reading about this morning, Mayor Hancock, I guess, trying to bump up his law enforcement, rule of law credentials, has forced the city council, or encouraged them anyway, to add a provision that says we in Denver will still notify the feds if certain special interest illegal immigrants are about to be released. But there's no provision, my understanding of it at least so far, there's no provision that they have to give, or that they will give the feds a 48-hour notice. In other words, 5 minutes before somebody's going to be released, okay, we'll send our fax to the feds, and then somebody gets out, and we've already had experiences in our city where someone gets killed because that happens.
I think that's true, and we just saw that. You're right. We just saw that with that guy that killed an inmate in the jail. That's not going to turn into a case, and it looks like, and again, the use of a fax, I'd love to know why that's the standard when we're in 2017. Can't we at least page ICE instead of send a fax or something from the 90s? But it seems to me that there's no provision in there that keeps them from saying, well, we'll wait until after ICE goes home for the evening, send a fax, and then we'll give them 10, 12 hours, and when they come back in, we'll have already cut them loose. So I'm just not sure what arrangement they have, but it doesn't seem one that's designed to encourage enforcement of federal immigration law. And I think that's frustrating, and I think it's disappointing that the city would put its stamp of approval on an attempt to thwart federal law like that.
Yeah, they ought to just attach a note to a raven and send it to Washington, D.C., or put up a balloon. We're about to release somebody, but not even 48 hours notice.
Semaphore.
It's
someone with flags standing on top of the city and county building, signaling, rapid arm movements or something. It's just frustrating. I mean, again, people in Colorado can have different opinions about what immigration law might be. That's not the issue here. And you can say, hey, for compassionate reasons, I think it ought to be this or that. Those arguments and debates are irrelevant until they're acted upon to change the existing law. And until that law is changed, this is what we need to enforce. And I'm just not sure what message we're sending to that next generation of citizens and those who might be civic-minded about the proper role of a city government in the context of enforcing federal law or trying to thwart federal law.
Talking with District Attorney George Brockler, running to be your next governor in 2018. Of course, it's a very crowded Republican field. And
thank goodness.
Yeah, no, that it really helps. I was in studio the other day, and when I heard Tom Tancredo was talking about throwing his hat back into the ring for another run, and you know, I don't know if it's your policy or practice to comment on other candidates in that regard, or somebody new wanting to throw their hat in the ring. I know for me, when I have high respect and deep affection for two people who I know might be really great governors, it makes it a very complicated decision. What's your take on Congressman Tancredo thinking about another run?
You're right. It's difficult to want to comment on any other candidates jumping in the race other than to say, I guess I'm waiting for you, Randy, to announce, because you are one of the only people that hasn't announced. And maybe the reason you haven't is because, like me, you didn't get the memo that said you have to be a multimillionaire, a family member of some political dynasty, or a statewide elected official who's looking to transfer to another statewide elected position. I'm none of those things, but everybody else I see dropping into this race, I'm like, man, did I somehow squeak in here with my bank account? Because I can't stroke myself a check with seven figures in it unless there's a decimal after the first three. So it's turning into quite a race. I'd still like our chances very much. I'm still thrilled about the idea that we have carved out a path to be the grassroots conservative candidate in this state and to win Colorado back, and to see if a kid from middle-class Lakewood can pull this thing off, or if you truly have to be one of the elite to do it.
Well, there's one thing that we know for sure, and that is he who has the most money does not necessarily win the race. You know, Jeb Bush was the front runner. Fox News was touting him as the guy who could win. He had $150 gazillion. It was wiped out very early in the primary process. Go back to Eric Cantor, who was running to be who was going to be the next speaker of the House of Representatives, brought $10 million into his primary, and David Bratt, with the help of my buddy Christopher Doss, beat him with $100,000 and a very well targeted campaign. So money is important.
Boy, that's amazing.
And you have to have enough money to get the word out. But it's not he who has the most money wins. And I've got to tell you, George, I've had Republicans actually tell me that, you know, don't support this guy or that guy because you're going to have X millions of dollars to win. And only my guy can make that happen. I just simply do not believe that. I refuse to believe it. And I think it's up to every one of us to prove that it isn't so.
Well, if I believed that, I wouldn't be in the race. I mean, I've just never been in a position to do that. I didn't grow up in that neighborhood. I don't have the ability to pick up the phone and call people off my dad's Rolodex. I mean, look, when I ask my friends for $200, I can hear dead silence on the phone as they mouth words like Chrissy Hines did on the radio to their wives. Like, who does this guy think we are? You know, $200 is Christmas money. That's vacation money. I don't have the ability to just make people scratch me a check for $1,150. And I'd need a ton of them to get to a million. Now, instead, we're going to win this the old-fashioned way. We're going to get little bits here and there from the good Coloradans around the state, and we're going to show that you don't have to be the richest guy in the race to pull this thing off.
Any places coming up? We've only got a minute or so left. Any places coming up where people can come and see you if they don't know you and want to get to know you a little better?
Absolutely. We're going to be on the Western Slope out in Grand Junction. It's either next week or the week after that. We are always hitting local events. I was just down in Pueblo on Saturday. I was out in Evergreen last night. Got some a forum thing to talk to tonight. There's a ton. In fact, you know who finds me a lot? There are trackers from American Bridge, from George Soros' group, who send out a tracker to follow me wherever I go and speak and to try to record me saying something cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or something. I don't know, something that they want to twist into it. So we can be found, and I'd love to see more and more people out there. Just reach out to us, george2018.com, and we'd love to have you on the team.
Yeah, don't you wish that some Republican billionaires would put up the kind of money that George Soros puts up for the other side to be able to afford all of these trackers, all of these protesters, all of that kind of thing? We have to do it the old-fashioned way, as you said. All right, George. Well, it's really good to talk to you, sir. I wish you good luck in the campaign, and you got about a year to go now until the actual primaries, I think, if my calendar recollection is correct. But it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope to see you real soon, man.
Thanks, brother. Talk to you soon. Bye now.
All right, gubernatorial candidate George Brockler. That's a good one. About 6 minutes ago now until the top of the hour, we'll have hit some news. And when we come back, we are going to have a liberal for lunch. Dane Torbenson.